Come on. Amen. Made a new man out of me. Amen. Praise God. Serve the Lord. Glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Have our ushers come forth, if you will, see the offering tonight. Amen. It's going to be a kind of a good offering to take tonight because we're going to have trouble getting through the crowd. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. I want you to give. Praise God. As the Lord directs your heart to give. Amen. I don't put much stock on offers, but praise God. A lot of expense in a meeting like this. So you give what God directs your heart to give. Yes. He'll bless you for it. Amen. Amen. I got a call this afternoon. Amen. Fella, praise God, took this week off from work. Amen. To be in camp meeting this week. Got a check in the mail for his birthday for $1,000. Amen. Boy, you can't beat God, can you? Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Brother George, you bless the offer, please.
Our Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the bow of the heads. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, through the day. Father, we do pray tonight now, dear God, Father, for that one's lost, Lord. I pray, God, this will be the night.
Touch, Lord.
God, we do pray tonight, God, for your man tonight. I pray, God, that you give him the words, Lord, that we need to hear, Lord.
Help, Lord.
Father, I pray that you take this offering, Lord, for put, dear God, Father, you, Lord. You know what we need here tonight, God. I pray, God, that everybody just put everything aside, Lord, and just look for you tonight.
Yeah.
God, whatever's done here tonight, God, will not forget to give you the honor,
yes,
the
Lord,
praise, and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You mind the Lord and give him while we stand together. Yeah, let me just tell you now, there's two lists back here on the wall. There's one for DVDs and there's one for CDs. If you want a copy of the messages this week or a copy of the DVDs, you just put your name on those lists. Be sure if you want both, you got to put your name on both lists. All right. Amen. Brother Bob and Brother Jeremy preached this morning. You need to hear both those messages. Amen. Amen. I'm serious. You need to. You didn't get all what's preached here this morning. Amen. You need to take them CDs. Praise God. Sit with them for about a week and a half. Praise God every day. Go over those things. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful for the God's men that'll stand and preach. Amen. Preach what's on their heart. Praise God. What a joy it is. Amen. To be in a service where God's leading his men to preach. Amen. I thank the Lord for it. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're staying over in the high pastures and you're not a preacher, amen, your room's $50 a night. Amen. So, praise God. You can get with us after that. I hate to mention that in the service, but I feel like I need to. Amen. So, you mind the Lord in that, and I know He'll bless you for it. Praise God. Now, after church tonight, we got food served after every service, morning and night. Amen. So, you stay with us after the services. I'll not mention that anymore. Amen. So, you stay and eat with us in fellowship. That's part of camp meetings, fellowship. Amen. So, we want you to stay and eat with us and have a time of fellowship after the services. Amen. Amen. Ladies trio, praise God, this is our folk. Amen. I love these ladies, praise God, they're a blessing. Amen to our church, and I thank God for them being able to sing for us tonight. You pray for them while they sing.
World is wrapped up in flame.
Chapter 20. Turn it, you turn it up. Thank you for being in God's house. If you want to stand, you can. Some are already standing, honoring the Word of God. I'm going to read these, the last verse in John chapter 20. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. You can be seated. I want to preach this evening on sinners. 9 out of 10 messages that I hear are trying to get the saints right. And my teachers are telling me that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that is His main goal from eternity to eternity, was the salvation of sinners. And I think that we're missing it. And I say we. Not spending enough time on talking to sinners about where they're going. And the whole deal of getting born again. And I'm afraid that we have as a whole, Christendom as a whole, has wanted numbers so much that we have adulterated the plan of God for sinners. I think we have tried to make it easy by giving them some kind of plan from their head and never moving their heart. But the way sinners get saved is like they've always got saved. And if we'll get on the path God wants us to, and I want to again say we, and I'm not condemning anybody, and yet I guess I am. If we don't deal with sinners correctly, we've missed it all. We can preach and have meetings and camp meetings, and you all know I'm for that. We can tell folks how they ought to dress and how they ought to talk, and I'm for that too. And we can get church members, get them in the church by having basketball games and Old Timers Sunday and Cousin Day and Friend Day, and getting them to make some kind of decision they say for Christ and let them die and go to hell because they never felt the pull of the Holy Ghost. If sinners get born again, God's going to have to deal with them. We can pull and talk and preach, but if the church never gets the atmosphere right for God to deal with sinners, we've missed the whole thing. It looks like now from this scripture that I read in your hearing that all the doings of Christ, the miracles, the workings while He is here, all these things were done that people might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they that believe might have eternal life. If that's right, and it is, it's the most important thing that ought to go on in the church. Is the pull, coming together as the people of God for the very express purpose of getting a hold of sinners and making them realize they're doomed for hell without a born-again experience. Now, I know from experience, as big as this crowd is, there's several sinners here tonight, no doubt. Never been saved. I know by experience that there's several church members, probably, that have never been born again. I've seen preachers get right, so-called, said these preachers, and Sunday school teachers and deacons get born again that have never been saved. I'm hearing more and more all the time people testify and say, I thought I was saved. When I was a young person, I went to the altar and made some kind of decision and got a dose of do better and feel better, but I've never been born again. That's partly our fault. I believe the man of God that stands behind the pulpit ought to tell sinners how to get saved. I believe that they ought to be so strong from the pulpit that every church member would understand that we don't need to read to some sinner, that we don't need to over-coax some sinner on about how to get saved. Now, y'all, and not all of you will agree with me, don't make any difference. I'm preaching you the truth anyhow. Yeah, I didn't get saved. You didn't either. By somebody reading to you, you got saved because you got under deep conviction by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power brought you down to your knees in your heart and made you understand what kind of shape you was in and that you needed God Almighty. You didn't need to talk about the Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholic. You need to understand you're lost and doomed if you don't get born again. I don't know how many people I've seen get saved, not near enough, but a great host of people I've seen get born again. And that's the most blessed thing in my life as a Christian, as a preacher, is to see somebody get born again. I love singing. Folks here tonight that can sing and will sing, and I love that. And I love good testimonies. I really do. It helps me when somebody stands under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and testifies, but nothing affects me like a sinner coming up off the altar, knowing beyond doubt that they're born again. And I'm afraid we're missing that. I'm afraid our emphasis is too much. And as I said, my teacher's been on my case about that. About trying to get people right and forgetting about the sinner that's sitting in the congregation. And one message ought to be enough for you on how you ought to live. It ought to be. I spend a lot of time in my church, been there 30 years. You'd think I'd ever one that comes to church there or to have halos, but now, as much as I preached on how to get right. But I look out over my little congregation, and every service, I've got some people that's lost. And that's more dedicated and faithful than a lot of the church members. And I've got 10 or 12 or 14 sinners that comes every Sunday. And most of the time on Wednesday night. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget about them and preach to the saints instead of the sinners. Now, I want to preach to sinners tonight and tell you that Jesus saves. I'd like to get a hold of your heart and make you want what I've got. I know a lot of you and I got great confidence in you that you've been born again. I mean, just a many, many of you here tonight. But I know about Brother Hanley. I know where I got it and how I got it. I know exactly what God brought me through under deep conviction. Already joined the church and thought everything was all right for a while, you know, made some little old profession. But a profession doesn't mean that you possess anything. But I'm going to tell you one morning down on the hillside, just between me and God Almighty, I've been under conviction for 2 years or more, and off and on I could eat, and sometime I couldn't eat, and cry out by myself. And that morning went desperate. Nobody gets saved outside of desperation. Sinner tonight, if you're going to want some little old light thing that all you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're never going to get born again. You'll have to get desperate or God will never save you. You'll have to storm the doors of heaven begging God. You may not have to beg, but you'll get in the shape to beg if you get under conviction like I got under conviction. And oh, God help us tonight. One more time to make the surge for sinners. We're living in a day when the old time way is about gone. When men and women and boys and girls are too lazy and busy to pray. When we forgot what the main thrust of this whole Bible is, bringing sinners to God Almighty. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I feel good and warm about eternity because of what God done in my heart that morning. And I know I've been having trouble and y'all know about it all. But if you hear me, leave it out of here. I was at the funeral home the other night and I looked at that man and I said, as far as I know, I'm ready for this. I didn't get ready by being a Baptist. I got ready that morning on the hillside and it's all holding out good. Thank God what I got that day is going to carry me across the river and into a place called glory where I know Mom and Daddy is. But I'll tell you what, I want to see Him first. He's brought me through every trouble and every trial and every fix I got in. He's brought me graciously by His power out of it and through it. I'm a slave tonight. Are you listening to me? I ain't much in this world. I know more about that than you. But I'm going somewhere. I'm somebody because of what He done for me. And I'm headed for another country. Woo! There's a woman coming to a well. Jesus knew about her when He got up that morning.
He had known about her for thousands of years. And he knew what kind of shape she is in. And he knew she was coming to the well. If he knew that about her, he knew it about me. And knew what he's going to take. He knew I'd be here tonight. He knew I was going to need him tonight. And he'll offer and give me more strength than I need to tell you sinners the blood of Jesus Christ is enough for you. If you'll bow yourself under Holy Ghost conviction and put your faith and trust as Him as Lord and Savior forever, He'll deliver you and you'll know you've been delivered. She's a trashy woman. You was too. A man here tonight, she was trashy too. God don't save good people. He saves old nasty sinners. Amen. I've never known, Brother Bob, I've never known a strutter to get saved. I've never known anybody to walk the aisle with their shoulders thrown back that ever got born again. But everyone he's saved, he's driven them down on their knees in humble repentance. I'm talking about repentance. I'm not talking about just saying, I'm sorry, and here I come, lucky God, to give in and join your crew. I'm talking about conviction and old-time repentance. Thank God that it'll change your life forever. I know about it. I've been under it. I know I repented that day. God save me. Bless His dear name. I'm glad I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I may not be as far in as you are, but I'm in. I got enough that's going to put me across the river. Bless His name. Whew. She came. She was ashamed. I think the rest of the ladies of the community didn't like her. She's coming at an odd time. But if you want the Lord, there ain't no odd times. He's a-working on you. There ain't no odd times. He'd just soon save you on Saturday night, Sunday morning. You sure don't have to be in church to get it. I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about getting born again. I'm not talking about some little old experience made you quit cussing for a while and running around after somebody else's wife or husband. I'm talking about a heart changer. Amen. I carried on a revival over the mountain here in Tennessee, and the last night of the meeting, the boy stood up, a red-headed boy, and said, this meeting's really done me good. I mean, he said, it's helped me. I ain't cussing near as much as I was when the meeting started. I want to tell you, that ain't kind of God. Thank God you won't have to follow you around and say you not ought not to do that no more. When I got saved, there's a man moved on the inside of me. Thank God made me know right from wrong. Thank God that brought me to church on Sunday morning. They won't have to whip you to get you to go to God's house if you get Jesus in your heart. Amen. She wanted a drink of water. Jesus said, give me the drink. He said, hey, old folks don't have no business dealing with us. You don't like us and we don't like you. Jesus ain't got no favorites. That's exactly right. And listen to me, sinner, he'd even save you. Even you. He'd save you. Amen. If you're finding fault with folk in the church and he's keeping you from coming here, I tell you, if I were you, most of them, you know them deacons and so-called preachers, you know things about some people in the church don't know. It'd be good for you to go ahead and get right instead of going to hell with them, because that's probably where they're going. I've told this several times before, and I knew the preachers. He said, we want to see old John get saved. He said, he's pretty much an outlaw. And they said, I talked to the preacher about it. And the preacher said, we've been wanting him to come for so long, but he won't do it. He said, I'm going to talk to him. And he went and talked to John and said, why don't you get right? And he said, I'm going to tell you what, there's so many church members, and I know these church members are worse than I am. And the preacher said, I'm glad to hear you say that. He said, I'll tell you what you do. If I can get you in this church, you, and if you'll do what I tell you to, and we get you in this church, me and you are going to fix things. He said, I'll tell you what, if next time God moves on you, you come to the altar and get born again and join the church, and then me and you's going to have a meeting, and we're going to work on them dudes. He said, all right, it's a deal. And he said, I was preaching one night, and here he come, got on the altar, and a-crying and begging God to save him, and God saved and got up, and people shouted and shook hands with him, and after church, I said, come here. And he said, well, you won't. He said, me and you now is going to get together. You go ahead and join church and get baptized, and we'll get together, and you point them people out to me, and we'll get rid of them. He said, I've been looking for them, and I can't find them. God will do something in your heart if he saved you. He'll break you down. He'll show you some things you ain't never thought about before. The woman at the well left her water pots and went to tell somebody else what a Savior he was. I'm glad tonight that this thing is real. I've been dealing with this for so long. Things are going on around the altar, and I haven't stood as firm as I ought to. Usually if I'm carrying on a meeting, I'll let the church and the pastor take care of all of that. But I've seen so many of them been got up, read to and talked to and said to repeat after me, and I'm about going to quit that stuff. God help us tonight. I know it's not my business to get in the business of the church, but I'm going to tell you, one that wants a sinner deceived, he's harder to get in than ever them. He'll say, I've been there and done that. Hey, listen to me tonight. This thing's either real or it's not. This thing's either eternal life or it's not. This is not just some little deal we do and forget about it. I'm talking about eternal life. That's what Jesus said. As that preacher said to me, this is in the red writing. I like that better than the black writing. Jesus said that you might have eternal life. There's a rich young ruler come to Christ, wanting to get in the crowd. He's rich. He's got money. Got influence. So he comes running. And I've seen so many things go on the altar. And I'm ashamed of it. It's our Baptist churches that know better. Some things go on the altar. And he came running, bowed at the feet of Jesus and said, what must I do? And Jesus said, well, would you keep the law, you know, this commandments? And he said, well, I've kept these from my youth up. Don't know anything about God. Don't know anything about this old time plan. And we got so many educated folks, and I don't want to kick education. Education has never done that to anybody. It's how it's letting it use you instead of you letting God use it through you. Ain't that right? And God help us tonight. I want to say again, if we fail dealing with sinners, we've lost the whole deal. If we can't deal with sinners right, we'd be better off to disband this bunch and go on back to the house and quit. If we deal with sinners wrong in the altar, that's the whole thing. That's why I'm preaching. That's why the lights are on tonight, for sinners dying and going to hell while we do our thing. I'd like to know about you. If you've really been saved, I mean really been saved. I don't doubt but what there's folk here tonight that have had an experience, been to the altar and gone back to your seat and everybody thinks you're saved, but you're not. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't go on that way. I want to see you get born again. And I'm going to tell you, if God has dealt with you, if the Holy Ghost has dealt with you, you can get saved. You can't get saved anytime you want to. But if the Holy Ghost is pulled on you, you can get saved. And God wants to save you. If He's dealing with you, if He's dealing with you, you can get saved. If He's dealing with you tonight, you can get saved tonight. And I know Ken Jenkins, and I know what he'd say tonight if sinners come to this altar. He'd say everything else can go its way. We need to deal with sin. And that's right. Did you know we get more response? People giving up cigarettes and giving up television and giving up some article address and people will shout and carry on. The sinner comes to order and you can't hardly get Baptist people to come and pray. God help us. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And I'm going to tell you the most important thing is getting born again. Born again. The woman at the well got what she came after. This one I just talked to you about, I don't know whether he ever got saved or not. I kind of doubt it. He went away sorrowful. He had a lot of money, a lot of riches, probably owned a lot of land. Might have been a good fella. Might have been the finest fella you was ever around. But he went away lost. He came to Jesus. Are you listening to me, sir? He came to Jesus running. Bowed to Jesus, but he went away sorrowful and lost. You're coming down this aisle is wonderful. You're coming and running and rushing, but if they show business in your mind, you ought to stay in your seat. If all you want to do is play act a little bit and make things folks you got right, they got a whole lot of them in the church now. But I'm going to tell you, if you really want God, He'll save you. Are you interested tonight? Are you interested? We met back this afternoon after we got in and put our clothes away and went down to, back down to McDonald's to get a sandwich to carry us through. And I don't know, I think there's at least three gangs there, wasn't there, Brother Larry, around. I'm talking about young people. We saw Mexicans and black people and white young people together and some young lady there half dressed and she had a wad of money. I don't know whether she was pushing the dope or what. And I thought to myself, God, help America tonight. And did you know mamas and daddies thinks that's some of the most wonderful stuff that ever was to mix them as much as you can mix them and let them go by themselves unsupervised and have fun and they're on their way to hell and won't make write down the rules of the household that they got to go to the house of God on Sunday morning and watch the company they keep. Amen. You say, preacher, are you mad? I sure am. I'm preaching mad. I'm mad at the devil and what he's doing to our country and to our churches. Bringing us, if you please, they're trying to jerk us over into another age. But I'm going to tell you, I still live in Philadelphia. That old Philadelphian church, thank God that we've just come out of that age, you know, when the old saints would testify and shout and you could feel God. And I go places now where all I hear is about hospital visits and cross eyes and ingrown toenails and everything else is going on, and nobody care anything about poor lost sinners going to hell. Are you listening to me tonight? And we need to be on our knees begging God to save sinners. Save sinners. I'm going to tell you, if we'd have some prayer meetings, instead of everybody requesting my uncle's sick, and I like all of that, and I want you to, and all this is going on, and we about had a car wreck, and I want you to pray for my nerves and all of that thing. I'm going to tell you, if we had prayer meeting for sinners, where mom and dad is again and scream and cry and beg. Thank God. Hear me tonight. The most important thing is for sinners to get born again. There's a woman with an issue of blood. She'd had it 12 years. And she has nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Came to Jesus in the crowd. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. I'd tried everything that I knew to try. I was in a mess. I felt pretty good about myself, but I sure didn't have what I wanted. I'd pray. I knew my mom and daddy had something that the rest of a lot of church members didn't have. We had an old hog pen down there, and I'd go down in the hog pen and pray. Had a hog house there where the hogs got into and the weather's bad and the snow's on the ground and everything. An old nasty hog pen. And I crawled up in there one day. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have done that for nothing. If you'd been under conviction like I was, you'd have said anywhere, Lord, any way, anything. I crawled up in there and prayed. And I believe I felt God there, but I didn't get saved. But I believe God blessed me for praying there in that hog, that old dirty hog house. But one morning down on the hillside, when I quit trying and said, Lord, I've tried everything and I don't know what to do, Lord. I've tried everything. I've asked people how to get saved and I've tried everything. I give up. I give up, Lord. And about that time, He gave me what I was hunting for. And I shouted that morning. Our church didn't believe in it. But I was shouting before I got back to the house. And I'm going to tell you, not because my mama shouted once in a while, but because I couldn't help it. Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" You want to touch him, sinner? Mamas and grandmas, grandpas and daddies, have you prayed for your lost people? I know my people at the church. I mean, I know where everybody sits. And I start at the back and I'm a praying at my prayer place. You say, "Preacher, you ain't supposed to pray that way." You don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I go calling names. I know in my mind where they are and where they're sitting. Call their names. Everyone that's lost and everyone that's saved, come on down here and come in the amen corner and call their names and beg God to keep the pulpit clear and clean at Union Chapel Baptist Church. And come over in the choir and start there and go back through the congregation on the right hand side. You say, "Why you do it, preacher?" I don't know who's lost and who's saved. I know a lot of them I'm praying for is lost, and it'd be a shame. I don't know how many slipped through our fingers at the church and went out unsaved. Heard all the message, been there for 30 years, heard every message I've preached about that I've preached, and dying and going to hell without God. Something wrong with me. I want to get closer to God, be more powerful in the pulpit, have a better spirit towards sinners and them that's lost and undone. I'm going to tell you, time's about up. Are you listening to me? Time's about up. You don't know near as many churches as you used to know that'll still deal with the sinner, right? Where the man of God's not afraid of anybody but God Almighty, and will preach in power and tell sinners what they got to do to get born again and quit having programs and plans and horseback rides and tractor pulls and preach again the Word of God. If that don't draw them, it won't do no good anyhow. For you to have special days and everything else and hand out money and prizes for bringing people to the house of God, we need preaching and we need the power. I know it's right. I wonder tonight about you. I've been around when some of you got saved, several here from Kentucky tonight. Been around when you got saved. No, my heart really believes you've been born again. That's wonderful. No doubt there's folk in here tonight that's lost, and you know you're lost. But you're ashamed on it. You've probably sung in the choir, may have sung specials. You may be talented, but just between me and you and the Holy Ghost, my teacher, you know you're lost. Don't go on another day. Some of you are already grown and married, and God's touching your heart right now while I'm preaching, and say, "He knows about you." And I want to tell you tonight, I want to see you get born again. Any person that's right, one of the first things I remember when I got saved that morning, when I came to myself, I want to see somebody else get what I got. And it's still burning in me after all these years. That's in about 1951, and it's still working on me tonight. And I love you, sinner. I want to see you get the real goods, the real thing. I'm going to give you some more instruction. I may never get to preach to you again. I'm going to give you some real instruction. You come to this altar, don't get tired of praying and say you're saved when you've not been saved. Don't put on no kind of show. Don't be no actor. Just admit you're a sinner. Pray as hard as you can. Ask Jesus to save you. And I'll tell you what. We keep trusting in Him. And ask Him to give you faith to believe Him just right. And He'll save you. And I'm going to tell you what you do. When you get under conviction through the priest's word of God, when you get under conviction and you respond to that and repent till God's satisfied and have the belief of a little child, God will save you and you'll know you're saved. You'll know when God saves you. You'll know you're saved. You don't have to go through life without, "I think so and I hope so." You can know it. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Terry? Thank God tonight, real old-time salvation will be good in the woods and down at the lake. And good old-time salvation will tell you how to dress at the beach. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And how to act and how to talk when you're out with the rest of the teenagers. If you've been saved, you're not happier than that kind of junk. God's a force on the inside of me. When God saved me, there's somebody moved in me. The third part of heaven moved in me and still in there tonight. When I was in Korea running from God to preach, I'm going to tell you, God is dealing with me every day. When I was trying to get as mean as I could, God is dealing with me every day. Thank God He didn't. And I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you can't get out here and do everything in the world and have no feelings. Amen. God Himself lives on the end. You're His child. You're His purchased possession. And He ain't going to leave you. The worst thing God ever done to anybody is leave Him alone. If I don't do anything else in this meeting, and if I preach again, I may preach to sinners again. These other men have different leads, and thank God for that. Glorious preaching here today. Somebody said, and I understand knowing who's preaching. God using them. But I'm going to tell you, it's on my heart. My teacher has been talking to me that I need to deal more with sinners in my church. And when I go out in the field to tell sinners that I love them and want to see them get born again. I'm going to tell you, sinner, during this meeting, any time, Brother Ken will back me up. Any time you feel like going to the altar, if you mean business, you come on. If you're going to come and repent, you come on. If all you're going to do is just cry a little and go back to your seat, and you know that before you come, it ain't going to save you. You can come up here, and if you don't come under conviction, but I'm going to tell you, if you come under conviction, you won't be talking to one of your friends and chewing chewing gum. And I'll tell you what, if you're under Holy Ghost conviction, you're in bad trouble. I just wonder, I want you to look at me tonight. I want you to be honest with me. I've been in this business all these years. I don't know how many saved. I don't really know you're saved. And if you're not sure about it, I'd really appreciate if you wouldn't raise your hand. But you know you're saved tonight. You have personal evidence that you know you're saved. Would you raise your hand and know you're saved? Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask you now that are not saved. I asked this question in my church on Sunday. This thing's been on me now for a couple, 3 weeks. At dealing with sinners. I want to ask you that tonight, if you'd be honest to yourself and say, Preacher, if I was to die in the shape I'm in, if I'm to die tonight just like I am, I believe I would not go to heaven, but wind up in hell. If I, in the shape I'm in tonight, if something happened to me, would you please raise your hand and be honest about that? So you say, Preacher, if I die in the shape I'm in tonight, I'm not going to give an invitation. The preacher may if he wants to, but I'm not going to. Would you be honest tonight and say, Preacher, I'm not under conviction tonight, you might be. But you could say, Preacher, if I die in the shape I'm in tonight, there's no hope for heaven for me. Would you raise your hand and be honest about it? God bless you tonight. Somewhere you're going to have to admit it. Somewhere you're going to have to be honest with yourself and say, I'm lost and I know I'm lost. And even though nobody that I could see tonight raised your hand, I'm going to pray for you. And some of you, I'll hear you say later, I hear that you said, I should have raised my hand that night. Sullins Branch Baptist Church and admitted I was lost. Until you know you're lost and admit it to God, you don't ever get in. I want us to sing, but Ken, can we do that? I want everybody to stand. You feel the need to come to this altar. I'm not really giving you an invitation, but any time during the service, these services, if you feel like you're lost, this altar is open to you and there'll be a place for you to pray. I'd like you that are saved to think about a sinner tonight.
Amen.
Christ, yes. I believe it'd be good for us to pray for sinners right now where we stand. Some of you tonight have got sinners in your family and on your heart. It'd be good for you right now to pray for them. Our Father, thank you for the privilege tonight to preach to this people, for putting sinners on my mind and on my heart. I pray you'll help people to pray for their loved ones that are lost and for others around them. Thank you for the blood of Calvary and Golgotha's hill. Thank you for the amazing grace that came to where I was and lifted me out and set me up to take me up to be with you forever. Oh God, tonight will you deal with our hearts? Deal with sinners' hearts. Lord, I don't want to press sinners tonight. I believe you'd tell me that, not to press, but oh God, I want you to save somebody. Lord, I want you to save my lost grandchildren and my lost boy tonight. God, have your way. God, have your way. I'm done.
Thank you this evening. I thank you, Lord, that you reached down where I was one day. Let me see my lost condition, Lord. I thank you that you opened my eyes, Lord. Raised in church, sung in the choir, sung in quartets. Lord, you come where I was. Let me see myself lost. And I thank you for them days of conviction, Lord, when you brought me down, Lord. Father, thank you for that blessed night when you moved in my heart and saved me, Lord. I thank you. I know it ain't been the same since that blessed night. And I rejoice and thank you, Lord, for the peace of God that a Christian can have, Lord, when they're saved by your grace. I thank you for the blessed hope that we have tonight. You'll soon come for us. I pray for these sinners here this evening, Lord, that you'd continually deal with them. Help them, Lord. Some, Lord, in the balance, even here tonight, Lord. Standing in the crossroad, I pray you to help them, Lord. Help them to turn toward God, I pray. We give you glory and thank you for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen, Brother Dale. How about you all crying one right there? Amen. Whatever you got on your heart. Amen. Amen. Appreciate Brother Dale and his wife and mother. Amen. His mother's been a little under the weather. Amen. They said they might try one. Amen. You pray for them. Amen. My pastor being with us tonight. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You mind God, preacher?
Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Be praying for this young man. The Lord will open his eyes. Preached yesterday morning about that jailer sprang in. He asked for a light. Praise God, that's what people need to be asking for today.
Right.
Ask for a light. And John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's King Jesus, thank God. Amen. I appreciate these folk from Arrington Branch trying to sing. Lockie's trying to sing in spite of croofing, but I believe God's blessed her. He'll bless her just for the try tonight. Amen. Appreciate the preaching, preacher, and I believe you're probably right. I've been trying to preach to lost people for the last three Sundays. It's going to shift to God's people next, but people need to get saved, y'all. This thing is almost done. He said it right. It is almost over. I mean, praise God, if the trumpet needed tuning, it's in tune. I don't think it hardly needs tuning. God's going to call an assembly here before long. If you go back yonder in the old Bible, first mention of the word trumpet in the Bible is connected to an assembly. And the first mention of the word assemble is connected to a trumpet blast. And it was two sounds, they went to war. But one sound meant the assemble. And I'm listening for that one blast. Thank God when the dead in Christ is going to rise and we which are alive remain going to get caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God, lost people need to get saved now. I mean, it's enough of this waiting. God's people need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. Amen. We all need to get right with God. Need to plead the blood over the hearts of people that's not saved. If you're here tonight, I guarantee you one thing, you will not have an excuse. Every excuse you've ever may have hung on to has been removed. The preacher preached the truth of God to you. Come to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, it's a whole lot better on the inside looking out than it is on the outside looking in. A whole lot better. People think you got to give up this, that, and the other. You get a new man in you. I drink every drop I want to drink. I sure do. Just don't want to drink no more. Amen. Cuss all I want to cuss. Just don't want to cuss no more. The new man ain't much on cussing. He ain't even much on fussing. Praise God, he sure does love to worship the Lord. I thank God tonight for the privilege to be here. Appreciate you, Pastor. Amen. First fellow right there the Lord ever left me to lay hands on. And it took. Of course, it took before I got to it. But I was glad to have a little part in it. Amen. You folk from Sutherland's Branch ought to thank God. God sent you a man to still preach. I believe God. Good to see these other preacher brothers here tonight. Amen. Pray God's blessing on you. Amen, brother.
Amen. I was saved in 1980, and Brother B.B. King, pastor of our church, my home church there, what, in August?
Well, I started preaching in May.
Started preaching in May, and the night they came in, I'd just been saved for a little while. And the night they came into the church, I was singing in the quartet and was practicing. And I never forget, praise God, there's just four of us there and Brother B.B. and his wife. And God come through that church. Amen. We was having a time. Praise God, Brother B.B. just come in that evening. And I mean, God give us a kindred spirit. Amen. Right that night. And praise God, he's not only my preacher. Amen. He's my friend. Amen. And I appreciate my pastor that's been a man of God. Amen. When I was wrong, he preached to me. Amen. Even though I was his friend. Amen. He told me what I needed to do. Amen. How to act. What to do. Amen. Praise God. I never will forget the night. I went to him and I said, Brother B.B., I said, there's something on my heart. I said, I'm not satisfied sitting on the church pew. I want to do something for God. Amen. And God had called me to preach, but I wasn't content, praise God, just sitting around. Amen. Waiting on somebody to open the door for me to come preach. Amen. So I began to pray. Brother, we went to the prayer room that night, just me and the preacher. And amen. Things turned around that evening, praise God. 1 week from that day, a church called me, and I took that church to pastor, stayed there almost 3.5 years. Praise God. Been at it ever since. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a good way, praise God. It ain't the best way. Amen. As I look at it, but it's the best way as God looks at it. Amen. Amen. There've been some battles, been some trials. Amen. I look at it, praise God. Hey, if you're a man of God and you feel like you want a pastor, there's something bad wrong with you. Amen. I'm being serious with you now. I'm telling you what's in my heart. Amen. But thank God, if you're God's man, He calls you. You go where He tells you to go, and you do what He tells you to do. Amen. And God will bless you and help you. Amen. Amen. I told Brother Jeremy over there today, you can be a preacher and not be a pastor. Amen. You can be a pastor and not be a preacher. But it takes a real man of God to be a preacher and a pastor. Amen? And I failed, praise God. But I can say this man right here has been my preacher and he's been my pastor. Amen? Thank God he's God's man and I love him with all my heart. Amen? I love Brother Milton and these other preachers. Amen? Brother B.B., praise God's helped me. Amen? There have been times I've called him in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Pastoring the church over across the hill over here. I mean fighting the devil every day. And just about ready to throw the towel in. And my wife would tell you the same thing. Went to bed one night and laid down in the bed. And about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a glory cloud come in that bedroom. And God whispered in my heart and said, it's going to be all right. And amen. And the first thing that came to my heart, called Preacher B.B. He'd been a-praying. And I called him I started not to call him. And I said, Brother B.B., I just wanted to call you and tell you, God come through here a few minutes ago and it's going to be all right. Amen. I was rejoicing. He was rejoicing. And praise God, I don't know what all went on, but I know one thing. That night things changed. Amen. I love you, Preacher. Amen. You pray for some blessed food. Amen.
Thank God for it. Amen. I want to say, too, I appreciate these old-timer preachers. I'll be 65 middle of this month. I'm old as dirt. Brother Bibby's older than me. These other fellas, but I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. It means a lot to younger preachers that old-timers have stayed right down the line. They stay what they mean. They just refused to move left or right.
Praise
just
God.
Kept on.
Amen.
Plugging.
Yes. Yes.
You do know everybody don't love him. But I love him.
Amen.
And I appreciate the Lord and appreciate Brother Kim. Appreciate all these preachers here tonight. And amen. I got him fooled too. So amen. I appreciate what he has to say, but who all was singing in that quartet? You and Johnny and who else?
Jimmy Robinson. Jimmy Robinson and Brent.
And Brent. Yeah. This was before church even started. They just practicing. Son, it was on. I mean on. And the Lord's been good. There's some small little Hightons here tonight. Appreciate them. Been good friends of us down through the years.
Amen.
Even I'll say this. Gary Cope's mama pulled out last night. And they said the doctor's talking to her, explaining to her that she was very, very, probably wasn't going to make it. And she got happy. And he said, well, ma'am, I don't have this kind of reaction out of many people. She said, I'm going home. And last night she went home.
Amen.
God's people die well. Don't you never forget that. Don't you be afraid of death if you're saved by God's grace. You're headed for the city whose builder and maker is God.
Because you're saved.
Amen. I'm getting downright jealous over some of this crowd pulling out.
Yes, sir.
I'm about sick and tired. Can I tell this about that funeral?
God,
I preached a funeral at Swan Little Heights not long ago, and Brother Clarence Sellers. And when I went to the visitation part of it, there was a woman sitting over here who looked completely out of place. I mean, completely out of place. And she was, complete the Birkenstocks and all that. I knew you could spot her a mile away. She's a tree hugger and all this stuff. And she said, I think she was a representative from the rest home that came to the service. And after Brother Bruce preached, I could tell she was not liking being there at all. But when I got up there, I didn't think more about it. But I said, before I even say anything, turn a Bible verse or anything, I said, I want to just say I'm getting to envy these people that's getting to go on to be with God. And I said, I am sick up to my eyeballs with this old sin cursed ball of dirt and water they call earth. And son, when I said that, she jumped up and turned a mouth face and out the door she went. I said, praise God, I love the earth, but her name's not Mother. Amen. Son, she just kept the marching.
Amen.
This crazy crowd today don't know a thing about truth, but we still have something from heaven right here. The only eternal thing you'll hold in your hand in this world is this book. And you got the eternal Spirit of God in your heart and in your soul. Praise God. Lord, thank you tonight for Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the grace of God that reached down, saved my soul, Lord. I appreciate the preaching tonight. And I appreciate, Lord God, you putting it in God's man's heart.
Yes, Lord.
To preach to lost people. Oh, Lord, no doubt tonight. Lost people in the house. Dear God in heaven, go to where they are and deal with them, Lord, and convince them of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Cause, Lord, that they come to the Lord in faith, believing the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, oh Lord, help me in these last days. Lord God, I look at myself and get disgusted. And I pray, oh Lord, for myself, for these other preachers, for Brother Ken, for the others that will stand in this meeting. Lord, fill us up one more time.
Yes, Lord.
God, fill us up and clothe us, Lord God, afresh and anew with that calling. And Lord, help us to preach with the touch of God in our soul.
Yes.
And Lord, may we pray with glory in our heart. And Lord, may we be a testimony to a lost and a dying world. And may we just seek to glorify the God of heaven these last days. Thank you, Lord, for the meeting tonight. Bless every service, every preacher, every song, and Lord, every testimony given. May it be to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for the food and them that's prepared tonight. Bless it to each body, and we'll thank God and bless His name in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Let's all stay in service in the morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. I'll let you know when the food's ready. Move to the